member of the Unacceptables. My mind is malignant.
Today, I open up my book for all to see. The words I speak are mine alone today.
Yes.
No offenses, no pretenses, just poetry.
Welcome to Griot Science.
Talking about your students, let's talk more about this class.
Oh, yeah, sure.
First of all, the name, what was the name that you gave it?
Laboratories, Ways of Knowing in Science and Poetry.
Mm-hmm. Is there going to be like a science and something else, or a poetry and something else? Or does it stay science and poetry for now?
I'm going to teach the science and poetry class again.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall, but in the spring, I'm teaching a class on queerness. I'm calling it LGBTQ poetry and lives, and I think that it'll be a different kind of comparing,
mm-hmm.
thinking about normativity and also what is outside of normativity. And kind of pushing against binaristic ideas and thinking about what a kind of queer poetry, what a queer poetics might look like. So I'm definitely interested in comparison or different analytics for inquiry.
Okay, yeah, that's the name, ways, different ways.
Mm, yeah,
different
exactly.
Ways of knowing. So what was your general experience with the class, and what, I think you already mentioned what you wanted your students to come out with. What did you want your students to come out with?
Oh, yeah. The class was really fun. I guess, like, these are two themes we've already sort of touched mm-hmm. on, but really I wanted my students to come out with two things, which is kind of an incited capacity for wonder, I would say. And also, I guess the second one is an ability to critique power. We went about this in a lot of ways. And we've talked now about power some, so I could tell you a little bit more about the wonder part. I think, I can't remember if you were there that day, but in that first week, were
yes.
you there when we did the
one,
the walk, the estrangement walk?
No. I was there when you did the poems presentation about their wonder. I think it was a podcast, the soundscapes.
Oh yeah. I'll speak about that in a moment, but first I was going to bring up something we did the very mm-hmm. first week of class, and we took this sort of estrangement walk in the rain. It just happened to be raining, but they had read that week these two beautiful essays, and one was by the writer Rebecca Solnit, and it was about getting lost. And also kind of the pleasures of getting lost, of not imposing always a kind of a compass or a structure on where we're going in our thought. But there was that piece on getting lost. And then there was this essay by this poet named Brian Teer. And it was about kind of poem walking, walking in a way that kind of brings you closer to a poem, but specifically about the Anthropocene. So this feeling of vanishing mm-hmm. in the world and change. And what I had them do that day was they each chose an animal that is endangered in North Texas. And then I had them each research their animal, learn about it for, 10 minutes or something. And then we all tromped outside under our umbrellas into this vast set of parking lots of UTD. The class was taught in a portable, and you went out and it was just tons of parking lots. And so we kind of marched through the parking lot, and then we tried to dream the vanishing animals into the parking lot with our imaginations. And
Whoa.
It was like all these different kinds of animals. It was like the woodland bull and the American honeybee mm-hmm. and the tricolored bat or whatever it was. And I had each student yell out facts about their mm-hmm. Their animal as we walked. And this was inspired also by a poet named C.A. Conrad
mm-hmm.
who has a method called kind of somatic poetics, sort of using the body. But what we did was then we stood together in a circle in the parking lot. We wrote a collaborative poem. And so that is sort of typical of my pedagogy, like how to create feelings of wonder as you engage in inquiry. How do we get lost in a way that's like pleasurable for all of us? So yeah, it was fun. It was a fun class.
That's such a beautiful class, man. That is a wonderful class.
Oh yeah, and you were there for the day when we did the Wonder podcast.
Yes.
They made group podcasts about one and interviewed each other. That was really fun.
Yeah, I was very impressed by how much they grew, because I was at the beginning, and then I think I came again at some point in the middle, where they presented some of their poetry, and it was such an intense experience. You know, I was like, wow, these students are really, you know, they're really nailing it. And I know, I've been through that process of trying to, you know, like write scientific poetry, and I can imagine that everybody's experiences are different. So before we end this, I want to ask you two questions. I can see we're almost running out of time. So first is, what is your process? I'm curious about what other people's experience with writing scientific poetry is, and particularly like yours and your students, if they shared any with you. And then finally, what did you learn from your students that you may or may not have expected?
Great question. My process. So I guess it starts, I'm always interested in research and interviews as an academic, and you know, spending time thinking about the ideas and what images they might produce. And so that's partly a catalyst, this relationship maybe between image and idea. But I think that you said something in your initial questions to me about life and its worthiness. And I think maybe it's about trying to write a poem that gets at that feeling. And I think that life is just this like giant broth of experience and sensation and loving and fearing and eating and, you know, hurting others sometimes by mistake and, you know, trying to get by. And I think that science and scientists and, you know, the phenomena that scientists are examining, they're just this one way into this lens on human experience. And it's this space of like, you know, deep looking and trying and experimenting and also acknowledging failure, right? Mm-hmm. Paradigm shifts in science. So it's this really powerful space. So it's part of that kind of bigger broth for me. Like I want to write a poem. Like, it's not that we can put everything in a poem, but we could put like a slice of everything. Mm-hmm. So I would say rather than that I write science poems, there's science in my poems, and there's also a lot of other things going on. Mm-hmm. But I think that when I think about my poetics on the topic, what I really want to document is wonder, different sensations as, you know, as I move through the world, and the feeling of the world disappearing, right? Those endangered animals, those species that the students were calling out. And so I want to think about like, how do we create a poetic craft for that? How do we think about, because poetry has such special tools, sonics and syntax, and, you know, how do we find one for a natural world in flux and in vanishing, and also our responsibility to it? And, you know, I mentioned line breaks and, you know, the edge state that they kind of give us a feeling of. How do we use sound to show the music under the ocean? I mean, there's so many different special tools in poetry. So I guess my process kind of takes all those things in. And, you know, I urged my students some of these things too, you know, like that there's research involved in writing about science. And and made sure they did careful research. But there's also a lot of other things. Like, I urge them to lean into their emotions, to write something that mattered to them, to not write something sterile, to relate it to something that they had felt in their lives. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the question of craft. And, you know, my students are beginners at poetry, so I also gave them some craft tools. But how to bring all these things together to create something, something that matters to them. And it was, I think, what, to segue into your next question, what surprised me most about my students, I had them write, do these final projects. And I was really open. I gave them guidance, but I was also really open about it. Mm-hmm. I think each one imagined the possibilities between science and poetics and science and art differently. It was so cool to just have my eyes open to these just infinite possibilities. There was this one student who, just as a prelude, I had them interview scientists at UTD.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them did final projects inspired by those interviews or researching those scientists. And so this one student composed a piece of music inspired by chemistry. Mm. And she enacted covalent bonds, that's what it was, through her use of chords. And then she wrote this long meditation about like the relationship between a covalent bond and a chord and how you could use chords to show the properties of these kinds of bonds. And so it was just beautiful. Oh. And there are a lot of different things that students made. There was a series of poems about bacteria, and there was another series about astronomy and celestial bodies. But it was, as I said, it was not confined to poetry itself. There were also short films and short stories. There was even a painting. And then one of the choices for the project was for students to make creative projects that interrogated, I guess I would say, the pandemic and how science has been treated in this time. And they did interviews of friends and family members, and so investigated that and the way that science is not fixed, right? It's something that is moving and is subject to power and all of these things. And so mm-hmm. They just made such beautiful things, really, each one of them. Like, no one slacked off on this project. I can't explain quite, like, they were invested. They made art, you know, mm-hmm. which is like really hard, you know, like the semester, it's like so chaotic. And like, uh-huh. also it was the time of the pandemic, we'd gone online, and I thought, oh God, you know, like everyone's so stressed out. Like, I don't know if they're going to have the stamina or the time or the energy to deal with these projects, to really, really rise up to them. But then they all did. And I think a number of them told me, like, this was sort of a refuge for them. Like, they just threw themselves into it. And so that was really beautiful.
So we would love to have some of your students come in and share some of their work.
Yeah. I wonder if it could be woven into this interview, maybe like a few, like the music from the,
yeah,
about the covalent bonds or a few. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But thank you so much for your time, Nomi. You were wonderful.
Oh, it was really a pleasure talking to you. Yeah, it was really lovely.